Edwin, it was an honor to hear you again. I've not heard you in a long time. And due to being so far apart all of these years, I've not got to hear you nearly as much as I would have loved to have heard you. Wanda and I speak sometimes of the preachers we have kept through the years, and we remember keeping you and Barney Owens. And it doesn't seem this long. I think I mentioned it to you. We at that time had an infant, and that infant just lately turned 43 years old, and these 43 years have flown by so swiftly. So it's an honor to hear you again, and I just wanted you to know that. I wanted to say that publicly, and may God bless you. And could I just close what I'm saying here with the most appealing doxology here at the end of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Don. That's been many wonderful years. I remember the first time I moved to Midland when I started preaching, Brother Allen there. Don was in a meeting in San Angelo. That's the first time I ever met Don and heard him preach. And he was editor of the Old Pass Advocate for years, still connected with it and all that. And we appreciate Don.
John Spratt.
I wouldn't have raised my hand if somebody else would have. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Pardon me. Praying in the Holy Ghost. What does it mean?
That was brought up in the last or sometime. Here's what I firmly believe. I believe that God, Christ, Holy Spirit gave the word through the apostles. I don't believe that you can separate the word of God from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the word of God, I believe they go together. We're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's working with that word. I believe in everything we do. I believe that when a person is baptized, by obeying the word that the Spirit is given, when they come up out of that watery grave of baptism, that word is with them, with the Spirit. I don't think they work separate and apart. And when we pray for the Spirit to help us, we've got to do our part. It's like grace and faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is man's part. And people get that mixed up. But when those two work together, they work out fine. Now, the Holy Spirit. Now, like I said, I study for knowledge. I pray for wisdom. But I do pray for understanding of the knowledge. And I believe that when I do that, then the Holy Spirit helps me understand. Not miraculously, but it's a way that God works. So that's the reason that I believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and so forth. And he's our helper. Now, many times, I don't know how to pray, I can't say the words. For example, I've gone to somebody's lost loved one, and going over there, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And when I get there, I can't express what's in my mind. See, I pray to God sometimes, and I can't express it, but the Holy Spirit that dwells in me knows that, and he's able, through Christ, to express that to God. And I believe the Holy Spirit helps us in that way. I've always believed that. Because of God and Christ. One brother asked me, said, do you believe the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Do you believe God and Christ dwells in you? Sure. I believe God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's got to, but it's through the Word. Now, if Christ had not died, we had this Word, it would be ineffective. It would be ineffective. If the Holy Spirit hadn't brought it, we wouldn't have it. And so, I believe praying the Holy Ghost, that's the idea. Any question about that?
I guess actually I didn't quite understand you to answer the question. I do agree with what you said myself. But as far as praying in the Holy Ghost, I didn't hear you say that that's what it meant.
Well, that's it's like, I believe Wayne and Isla and some of the others, some of these expressions, they're worded just a little different there, but they mean the same thing. And we got to take one little thing just popped in mind. Irving Waters debated Floyd Stanley. And Floyd Stanley said, "Brother Waters, you got it just mixed up. You say the fruit of the vine's in the cup, but the Bible says the New Testament is a cup in my blood. So it says the cup's in the blood, so you got the blood in the cup." Well, we all understand what that means, see, but the way it's just actually worded there, it would be a little different. And so, praying in the Holy Spirit, or so forth, I believe it all adds up the same thing. When you take all the scriptures and put them together, you got to do that in the interpretation of the Bible, and you put all the scriptures together, then you got the truth.
Scripture suggests singing in the Holy Spirit too.
Yeah, we sing with spirit and understanding, pray with spirit and understanding, and all that. On that, I'll just put it like this. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, here's what it does. The spirit tells me, you do this. My spirit within me says, that's right. So, with that, I go along with what the Holy Spirit says, the work. My spirit goes along with it. That's how my spirit works with Holy Spirit, is that I'm willing to go. And so that's the way I understand it, that our spirits, we work together with it. That's our mind and our understanding.
That makes more sense to me, that we pray and agree with. I believe that when our spirit agrees with God's spirit, we're in perfect fellowship with Him. And if two of us, our spirits agree with God's spirit, we're in fellowship with each other also.
Yeah. And that's really very important. We as preachers, that we preach the Word of God, and then our spirit agrees with what the Holy Spirit's
here. Richard Butter. These letters were written in the context of the first century where there were spiritual gifts. And the passage that John referred to in 1 Corinthians 14 would indicate it was the tongues were under consideration. Paul says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." And then to clarify that he means speaking in tongues, he says, "Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest?" And I would connect what is stated there in Jude about praying in the Holy Spirit with praying in a miraculous fashion there, that is in tongues. And that doesn't apply to the way we would pray today.
That would be the same with all spiritual gifts. They ceased, and this would cease too. Yeah.
Jack Cutter.
As far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, that's been discussed before, but there's one thing I remember as a situation where there's probably one of the worst times that I ever spent in the study discussion of the Holy Spirit. So I say that we've came a long way between the attitude that was, and then the way it went off then than today. But I think that we're getting off the really subject of what this is all about, but if it's, I'm not running the show. I want to mention something about creeping in unawares that was in the chapter, and it's throughout the epistles. That's warned against. And I'm just going to bring out a personal situation that I know personally very well. In 1987, we begun the congregation Broken Air and began to build up over a period of time. There's two particular instances in the history of that congregation from where it started to where it is now, is that we had people come into that congregation. One of them, being the evangelist, and they kind of looked up to me for the leadership of the congregation, and I was a responsible person in both of these individual situations with the select part of the men that we picked to help in the leadership. But in the first one, that didn't exist. But what happened was we got a lot of young couples that attend the congregation. And where the problem came in the first instance, a brother in the church, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, and you just have to imagine about that, but he came in, and due to a foothold in the congregation, he wasn't a member, and he began to teach that it was all right to miss worship on the Sunday, and the ones he influenced, and they probably still believe it, although they continue to attend, are some of the younger ones in the congregation. But he did this, and it was happening over a period of time, and they knew exactly how we believed, the leadership of the congregation believed. But it caused us a lot of problems until we headed it off. So it's still with us, though. I mean, I think that some of those younger ones, if they don't overcome their feelings about that, would go off somewhere, and that would be the way they'd look at it. At last, you know, I know which ones they are, but that's what I've been told, and that's it's just the way it can happen. But another instance is, I knew how the brother felt about it. He came in, it had to do with cutting the hair, and of course, I believe with all my heart and long hair. And I asked him not to teach it publicly or privately, and he said, I won't teach it publicly, but I'm not going to tell you that I won't do it privately. But what he did was he taught it privately, and he did the same damage to the extent that the first instance did. It's all that they'll come in and they'll be with our own brother, and they can do us some damage that you can't. You can probably never get over all of it. But we didn't lose membership over in either one of those instances. But it did create really a problem, a nightmarish problem for us. But I'm just telling you that these things that happened in the Bible, they warned was happening, and did happen, is happening and has always happened, and we just need to be aware of it. But the congregation over there has been blessed. God has been very good to us, and we've reached a point where we have reached where we have elders and deacons and that, and we're thankful. I'm not bragging about it, but I just believe that's the way it's supposed to go. But if we hadn't headed off those instances, and we haven't had any problems as elders and the eldership with the deacons, I don't know of any significant problems like that. But it will happen, and I'm just giving you a 20th century. Is this a 21st? Nothing in the 21st century. Instance of things that have happened just recently. And I imagine you'd get the same kind of testimony from others if they would say, if they wanted to declare it. Now, I'm not saying it for any personal glory or anything like that. I just tell you about the experiences.
Jack, that's true. We all know that there'll always be problems. They'll come up and so forth. But let me ask you this question. How many times has the subject of long hair been preached upon publicly? You don't have to answer, but I want everybody to think about this. I was told by one brother that he'd never heard the book that you talked on, per se. Not he hadn't said anything. So that's something. I used to preach long hair when I held a gospel meeting. I got flogged a few times, but I didn't back up. And so what I'm saying is, so many times, and here's where we've made a mistake. We take for granted our brethren understand certain things. They don't. I use this as an illustration today. I want to think about it. Francis and I was going to go to church. We went to this town and we didn't meet on Wednesday night. We were sitting in the parking lot in the Assembly of God Church. They come out and asked to go in. We were dressed and didn't have nowhere to go. So I said, well, let's go on in. And they testified. It really made us feel home, said our preacher's gone, our pianist is gone, so we kind of substitute, you know, like excuse we always make, you know, for people. But the old boy got up and he said something. He said, I dreamed our pastor. Said he was preaching to us, really preached to us, and said, just going over our head, just going over our head, going over our head. And you know, I got to think about that. I've used that many times since. We preach it and preach it. We say, well, that's been preached for. Yeah, it went over there. It's just like in school. They just, Don, don't just teach them over and over and over. Teach things over and over. All you people school teachers know that. It happened to us when it's good. So what you've got to do, you got to keep teaching. Yes, there'll be trouble as long as the church stands. Because old Satan, I want to tell you something. Old Satan's working right now.
I know.
See, he's working. He'd like to get us all here in a big row right now, so to speak. See? So well, that's what I'm saying.
On that up there, we taught on both of them. That's one thing they would probably tell me not to preach on. I preach on it so much as I'm a firm believer in not missing services on Sunday morning. If you're, you know, if you could, if just a work or something like that. And so they've been taught off publicly. I don't know. Maybe it's going out one ear and out the other. I don't know what that. I have to say about that, and I really may not understand altogether what the problem is, but that's a bottom line on that.
The leaders in the church, those that do the teaching, they need to be teaching on this thing instead of just us preachers. We need their backing. If they would get up and teach on it, it would help a lot. If the teachers in the church would.
And it was taught on Edwin. That's
yeah, well, that's, I don't want to argue about that. I just pointing this out. That that's what's needed. Because I've been there, I don't know if it's been taught or not. But I do know over the years when I've traveled around, and these other preachers know the same.